This is the Everything Financial Radio podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. Thanks for tuning in. On both podcasts this week, I'll be talking to Mr. Fabian Calvo. Glad to have him joining me this week. We'll get his take on what's going on with the U.S. dollar, and we'll get his take on what Mr. Calvo calls a multi-sector bubble. So you'll want to stay tuned and get his take on that. Quick reminder, if you've not yet gotten your investor's discovery kit, you can request your free discovery kit by visiting investingapproach.com. All you have to do is let us know where to mail your free resource, and we will be glad to do that. Again, the website, investingapproach.com. I am pleased to have as a first-time guest on the Everything Financial Radio program, Mr. Fabian Calvo. Fabian is one of the leading real estate mentoring and real estate investing experts in the world. He also has been an active political analyst and commentator, and he is a libertarian-leaning commentator as well. And Fabian, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Dennis. I appreciate it.
Fabian, we will have the listeners learn a little bit more about where they can learn more about your work, but let me first jump in and just talk a little bit about your background, because you have actually spent some time dabbling in participating in politics. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, certainly. Well, I basically have been a small business owner for the last 15 years, roughly, of my life. I run a real estate company that basically buys real estate in across the country, really. And in 2010, I basically, fed up with just the current political establishment as I was, decided to run for Florida House, the Florida State House. It was really an awakening process for me and really understanding. I mean, I think most people listening would say and agree, money runs politics. But when you're actually on the front lines of that, you really get a dose of it. And so, I kind of merge those two because I'm somebody who believes everything is pretty much connected in world events today. It all goes back to economics, and politics is clearly connected to economics. And so that's kind of a unique angle I like to approach the news of the day and also the historical events that we can tie back to.
So, Fabian, let's just get your take on what's going on now politically. We're approaching the midterm elections. There seems to be growing discontent with the status quo in politics. Do you see things changing significantly after the midterms, or how do you see this playing out, and how do you see this discontent among voters actually playing out?
I can look at other places in the world, and I can say that, you could see the discontent, for example, in Scotland and parts of Spain, throughout Europe with more nationalist parties that are working to opt out of the EU. And I could only hope that in America there's going to be that same type of backlash against the political establishment. And by that I mean the two-party system that clearly operates from the same playbook and clearly implements the same exact policies. For maybe a little bit of difference in rhetoric, there's really no difference between the two parties, and I think people are beginning to wake up to that. Now, through that awakening, though, it could mean that people just completely end up opting out of the political system. They're like, I'm not going to vote, it doesn't matter, and if that happens, well, the political elite end up winning. Unfortunately, like I said a little bit earlier, all things go back to economics, and we know that there is a although there has been, incumbents that have been defeated by candidates with very little money, the bottom line is that money completely has saturated the political, just politics in general. And, that's why, although there's a 6% congressional approval rating, the majority, like the 95% of incumbents, keep getting reelected. And I don't think that's going to change unless there's some significant changes in the country, likely stemming from economic changes.
So give us your assessment, Fabian, on the U.S. economy presently.
Certainly. I mean, look, we are at the end of the road for the U.S. economy. And here's what I mean by that. It doesn't mean that, the American worker may not still be the best worker. It doesn't mean that there's not all kinds of industry still left in America, all kinds of natural resources. But what I mean by that is the idea of the internet, the world, in essence, taking payments in a dollar or in the dollar being the world reserve currency, I really believe that's coming to an end. And we see all kinds of signs of this. We see the Chinese, the Russians, we see countries around the world, even the Europeans that are beginning to enter in bilateral trade agreements with other countries, bypassing the U.S. dollar. And that, I think, is the linchpin overall to the U.S. economy. Because when I talk about this end of the road cycle for the U.S. economy, we look at the indicators and just look at the numbers. I mean, the Fed at this point must keep rates at 0% in order for there to be any type of growth whatsoever. Since the 1950s, credit expansion is close to $100 trillion. And the only way they can continue to keep the Ponzi scheme, what I refer to the U.S. economy as, is by printing more and more and more money. Well, you know, we're at a point now where the Fed has increased their balance sheets past $4 trillion since 2008 by printing money, lending it to the Treasury, unprecedented in U.S. history. Every other country, this is an important piece of information here, every other country that's tried this, it's failed miserably. And so that's where we're at with this. I don't think that they can keep it up much longer, although many thought they couldn't keep it up much longer since 2008. I think that's the biggest indicator for me is the devaluation of the U.S. dollar and the fact that any growth is inflation-related, meaning the Fed has to continue to print money, credit must continue to be issued in order for there to be what they call growth. I would call that inflation, not really real economic growth. In fact, I'd argue that we haven't had any real economic growth in America for the last 5 years.
Well, certainly if you adjust the value of the Dow for the purchasing power of the dollar over the last 14 years, even though the markets are nominally up, certainly in real terms, arguably they're down a little bit. Let me ask you this, Fabian, because you mentioned that the dollar will lose its reserve status, and I think when one studies history, that's the conclusion you reach with any fiat currency that's ever existed. But I've had guests on the program that say the U.S. dollar will continue to get stronger, at least near term, because it's the best of a bunch of bad choices. What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, I think that theory, there's a lot of logic to that theory, and there's a lot of truth to that theory. I think what's left out of that are the revolutionary changes that are sweeping across the country. You know, 5-10 years ago, many people wouldn't have thought that the U.S. dollar would be devalued at the rate that it's been devalued with the QEs 1, 2, and 3 and 0% interest rates now for over 10 years or you know, if you average it out. No one would have thought of that. No one would have seen the Russian-Chinese alliance that is clearly on the rise. You know, we see on Monday these European sanctions that were levied against Russia. Well, Russia just turns around and basically goes to China, and now they've just increased their trade together, increased their energy deals. So I think these are things that a lot of people didn't, you know, many people did see coming, but many people don't take that into consideration when thinking that the dollar is going to continue to be the world reserve currency. The world is fundamentally changing, and we're beginning, I think, countries around the world, in Europe, in Asia, are beginning to realize that if they continue to buy into the dollar system, their countries are at the whim. I mean, take China. Inflation in China over the last 10 years has been up over 200%. I mean, that could spell full-blown revolution in that country where people are literally starving to death. Hundreds of millions of them are starving to death. And so they recognize they got to come up with a better system. And that's why you see the BRICS Union being formed. It's why you see their version of an IMF being formed and World Bank. It's why you see them putting together now an energy union that's going to challenge OPEC. And I wouldn't be surprised either, Dennis, to see in the not-too-distant future OPEC beginning to take payments for their oil in other than dollars. And so there's a lot of variables, a lot of things that I think are, I wouldn't necessarily call them black swans. I think they're just common sense economic moves by these other countries that are recognizing if they keep up with the dollar, it affects them and it hurts them economically. And I think those are not considered when people just have the knee jerk of saying, you know, the dollar will always be the best currency in the world. Well, look, historically, it doesn't work that way.
Well, our guest today is Mr. Fabian Calvo. Fascinating conversation. It's amazing how fast that time went. You'll want to stay tuned for the second podcast this week when I continue my conversation with Mr. Fabian Calvo. In this segment, I want to continue with the theme that we started last week, and that is really economics and finance in plain English. And I want to take a minute just to thank someone who brought to my attention that, you know, I can tell that you're talking about important topics on your program, but I'd like you to put it in maybe more layman's terms. So this is an effort to really just take some listener feedback and get you information that would be helpful and that you can use. So with that in mind, I want to take a moment and talk about what Fabian said in the last segment. And I really want to zero in on just a couple things that he said. The first thing that Mr. Calvo said is that any growth that the economy experienced or has experienced in the last 5 years has been inflation related. He also said that the biggest threat he sees to your savings, your nest egg, is that the U.S. dollar could lose reserve currency status. So I want to take this segment and focus on just those two things that Fabian said in the last segment and expand on those and provide you an explanation as to why you should be concerned about this. Why is this important? And let me start with the fact that Fabian said that any growth is inflation related. Well, what exactly does that mean? Well, to really come up with a good explanation, we have to define what is inflation. Inflation, technically defined, is an expansion of the money supply. Just means that there's more money that's created. Now, if you were to ask the average person walking down the street, can you define inflation for me? They would say, yeah, that means prices are going up. Well, increasing prices are really just a symptom of inflation. The technical definition is that you would expand the money supply. Now, expanding the money supply used to be a lot tougher than it is today. If you listen to last week's program, we talked about the fact that money used to be hard money. By hard money, I mean money was something tangible like gold or silver. And as time evolved, there was then paper certificates that would be redeemable for hard money. Well, in a system like that, where you can only print a certain amount of paper money, and the amount of paper money you can print is really limited by the amount of hard assets that you have in reserve, it's really difficult to expand the money supply significantly. However, now, as we talked about on last week's program, it's really easy. Every currency in the world today is a fiat currency, meaning it's currency by decree. And if you take a look at how the U.S. dollar has held up as far as buying power against other fiat currencies, one of the best indicators to look at is something called the U.S. dollar index. Now, the U.S. dollar index is a measure of the value of the U.S. dollar related to, or in relation to, I should say, the majority of its significant trading partners. So if you look at the U.S. dollar index, this was created in 1973, just 2 years after President Nixon eliminated the link between the U.S. dollar and gold, allowing the Federal Reserve to print money at will. Well, at that point, the value of the dollar started to float against other world currencies as well. When this index was invented in 1973, it had a base value of 100. So that means that a value of 120 would simply mean that the U.S. dollar experienced a 20% increase in value or purchasing power over the time frame. Well, if you look back at 2001, the U.S. dollar index had a value of 120. So that just simply meant that during that time frame from 1973 to 2000, point to point, the U.S. dollar gained about 20% in purchasing power. Today, however, 13 years after 2001, the U.S. dollar index has now rallied back to 84. That's a 30% decrease in purchasing power in the last 13 years. That's significant. So an item that cost $10 in 2001 would today cost about $13. Well, the stock market is priced in U.S. dollars. If you take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, for example, in 2001, it had a value of about $11,000. Today, it's got a value of about $17,000. However, it would have a value of $14,300 simply adjusting for the purchasing power of the dollar. So there's no doubt there's been currency devaluation. In fact, all you have to do is go to the grocery store to find evidence of this devaluation. Now, this devaluation is making a lot of foreign investors nervous. So, for example, if you take a look at what reserve currency is, basically the U.S. dollar is the most widely used reserve currency, and all that means is that countries are stockpiling U.S. dollars to use to buy stuff. So basically, if a country wants to buy oil or gold, the oil or gold is typically priced in U.S. dollars, so governments stockpile or store their wealth in dollars, just like you do. You store probably most of your wealth in U.S. dollars. Well, because of the devaluation of the U.S. dollar, a lot of these countries are getting nervous. And what they're doing, as Fabian said in the last segment, is they're coming up with other ways to do business so they don't have to use the dollar. Russia and India, for example, just put together a bilateral trade agreement. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that there's been some geopolitical tensions over what's going on in the Ukraine. Now, here's why this is important to you. If all these countries are keeping their wealth, their reserves in dollars, that helps Americans by keeping interest rates low. So since the U.S. dollar is most commonly used as a reserve currency, and there's a couple reasons for that, the U.S. Treasury market is both liquid and deep. And liquid means that the securities can be sold quickly. Deep means that you can sell a lot of U.S. treasuries without significantly affecting the price too much. If a country held their reserves in another currency that had a market that really wasn't liquid or deep, they might be able to sell a lot of these currencies, but it might move the price a lot, or they might have a hard time finding a buyer. So for that reason, the U.S. dollar is still used in the majority of international transactions. The euro is also used. The Japanese yen and British pound sterling are used to a great degree less. Now, here's the other requirement for a good reserve currency. If you're a country and you're holding your assets in a currency, you want to make sure that currency is unlikely to lose value to a great extent. And that's the tricky part. If there's credit downgrades, which there has been, if there's massive devaluation, which there has been, then if you're a country stockpiling your wealth in U.S. dollars largely to make trading easier, you're going to find other ways to trade. And that's what's going on around the world, and that's what Fabian talked about as well. So because the dollar is still the world reserve currency, interest rates are low, and imports are really affordable. If the dollar were to lose its reserve status, interest rates would go up. That would mean if you want to go borrow money, it's going to cost you more. And secondly, imports become more expensive. And because we don't manufacture much here in the United States anymore, the dollar losing reserve status would, by some accounts, reduce your standard of living by as much as 25%. And that was according to Sam Zell, who is a billionaire real estate developer. We talk about planning for retirement in today's economy in our monthly economic commentary. That's titled Your Retirement Outlook, and you can get a free subscription to our monthly economic commentary by visiting yourretirementoutlook.com. And if you've not yet requested a free investor's discovery kit containing the book New Retirement Rules, as well as a copy of New Economy Magazine, as well as an educational CD and an educational DVD, I'd like to invite you to go to the website investingapproach.com and request your free discovery kit. That concludes our first podcast of the week. You'll want to tune in again and listen in again when I continue my conversation with Mr. Fabian Calvo.